Welcome to the podcast for the First United Methodist Church, located in Round Rock, Texas.
We very much so hope that you're enjoying this podcast, and we invite for you to join us online at fumc-rr.org for all of our church information. We also hope you join us on social media at fumcrr on all social media platforms. If you'd like to give to this podcast and other ministries, please text 44321 and follow the instructions. Again, we hope you have a very blessed week. And better yet, we hope to see you soon at the First United Methodist Church of Round Rock, Texas.
Good morning, my friends at Round Rock First UMC. It feels so good to be with you this morning, especially this service has such a special place in my heart. It really feels good to come home. So I want to say thanks to all your pastors. You know, Brad was my district superintendent when I was one of your pastors way back when, for a minute. And we imagine an annual supervisory conversation with Brad. It was just a fun time, really, more than it was anything else. And he's been my friend for a long time before that. Thank you, Pat McCain. Pat, where are you? There you are. Pat is my prayer partner. During my time, he didn't have to do this. During my time in Sierra Leone, he checked in on me, I mean, regularly. And it's really been such a gift to get to know him as a brother in Christ and to be able to do mission together. I'm really proud of everything that you're doing here as well. And of course, David, who is the most energetic of the bunch. Thank you for inviting me to be here this morning. I want to thank all of you, too. Your support of me as a missionary, as well as Hope on the Road, has been an absolute gift. And I mean, really, without your help, we probably wouldn't have been able to sustain that program. And 27 pastors in training would have been unable to continue their very important work. So thank you for making that happen. I'm also very pleased to be able to continue my ministry with all of you as well as your covenant partner in mission. I've always known that you guys had my back. I've always known that if I needed anything, Round Rock would be there with me. And I also bring greetings to you from the Vice Chancellor of the United Methodist University, Dr. Ekundayo Thompson, Professor, and also the Registrar, Mrs. Florence Fofana of the United Methodist University, Sierra Leone. So thank you for your friendship from across the globe. Now, as I was reading through the scripture reading that was read by Scarlett, oh my gosh, you're so tall. and I know that we're sort of in the middle of a sermon series, a part of a sermon series about belonging. And I remembered that this video that we had made last year might still be in existence for World Communion Sunday. I remember when Pat reached out to me and asked me if I could put something like this together and trying to figure out how many languages that we had represented just among the staff at the United Methodist University. Turns out at least five. There's three Sierra Leonean languages plus English, and then one Zimbabwean language that you heard up there from my missionary partner, Reverend Natalia Manyesa. And I have to confess to you that I asked that for that video to be played, mostly because I just wanted to see their faces again, because I miss them very much, all of my people back home in Sierra Leone. I just wanted to see their faces one more time. Because the truth is that because of my missionary service, and really more importantly, because I am a Christian, I have two homes now. Because of the belonging that I've had with these people, I get to know home in two places. That's sort of what the Christian faith actually has for us, right? That we get to be home in a lot of different places and different cultures as well. In fact, I was telling Brad and Pat a few weeks ago that one of the surprising things about missionary service has been for me how deeply I have come to belong to Sierra Leone and to the people in Sierra Leone. Now, a lot of people think that missionaries are people who like sacrifice and suffer for the gospel. You know, I got a lot of that, like, are you gonna live in a hut in Africa? No, I have an apartment, we're good, right? There's this sense that there's like this romantic idea that missionaries sort of put their lives on the line to go and carry Jesus and spread the gospel in distant lands. But first of all, Jesus was already there, and I met him in the faces of the people there. But truth be told, I never actually felt like a missionary life was a life of suffering. I gained so much more than I sacrificed by going to Sierra Leone. And I enjoyed myself. You guys should see the beaches. It's beautiful. It was not only a great adventure, but it was also an absolutely transforming experience for me, and it was one that I wanted as I went. I did not suffer. I didn't suffer until I left. And that's when it hit me that this place and these people have taken up a permanent place in my heart. Just like all of my people in Texas. And it occurred to me how hard it is not to be able to be in both places. See, when we say yes to being a part of the body of Christ, when we say yes to coming up to the table and receiving the bread and the cup, we are saying yes to belonging in a global family, not just this family, which is wonderful. But the global family in our neighborhoods, in Round Rock, across the tracks where you might not want to go, and also around the world. So you say yes when you come to the table to being a part of the body of Christ, to loving other people as your neighbor. We say yes to serving alongside them to build the kingdom of God on earth. We say yes even to being changed by them, to being influenced by them. Part of belonging to God is also belonging to God's people of every nation, race, tribe, and tongue. And in belonging to one another, in coming to the table, we are transformed. Now, before I talk about what it looks like to belong in the global body of Christ, let me just update you on what I've been doing over there in Sierra Leone, at least for the last 3 years, but for the last 6 years, really. I know that this church has grown exponentially under the leadership of your pastors over the last 6 years. And so if I don't know you, I am a Texan. In fact, one of the first things I taught them was the word y'all. I'm also a pastor who served churches in Central Texas, has served churches and been in ministry since I was 18 years old. But I always felt, and I even remember sitting in my office over in the other building, I don't know, 10 years ago, and thinking, there's something coming. I always felt drawn to serve people in different places and different cultures. I always felt the power of being a part of the global body of Christ. So in 2017, I was trained and commissioned and sent out as a missionary by Global Ministries of the United Methodist Church. And I was told when I went there that I would be doing continuing education for pastors across the country, basically traveling around and educating pastors in this small West African country called Sierra Leone. But I found out when I got there that there was a new United Methodist University that had just opened. It was 2 months open, and they were only 2 months into their first semester. And the bishop came to me, Bishop Yambasu, and he said, no, you'll be a lecturer at the Bishop Vinner School of Theology. And then later, I served in the registry as well. This is what our school looks like. Now, the goal of that university is to reform and revitalize and recenter the focus of university education in all of Sierra Leone toward the values of excellence, integrity, and service. So we focus not only on head knowledge, but also on heart and hands. And our goal is to raise up leaders of integrity who make service to God and others their focus, with excellence as their guide. Now, those are my boys. I have all the full-time students are all men, and they're all young men. And they gave me some trouble in class. So we started the university in 2017. In February 2022, we held our very first graduation ceremony, where 7 students received a Bachelor of Theology degree, 7 students received a certificate in chaplaincy, and 18 students graduated with a postgraduate diploma in education. There we are. Yeah. A couple of years, and our hope on the road, folks, will be up there with them as well. Now, one of our students has now finished his master's degree at Africa University in Zimbabwe, and 4 others have been commissioned as provisional elders in the United Methodist Church. And there's a photo there, too. Those are our guys, yeah. Yeah, let's clap for them. And right now, it was really hard to leave, I'll tell you. Every year I'm like, I think it's time to go home, and then the students are so amazing. And that it is no less true now. We have some of the most brilliant minds in our classroom, and I'll talk about some of them a little bit later. They are so brilliant and so talented and so faithful, in fact, that a few months ago, I was listening to one of them preach in chapel, and I thought to myself, a revival is coming to this country, and it is starting right here in this chapel. So it's just a privilege, right? I have had the privilege of belonging to them. I have had the privilege of being a part of a really impressive team of people already there. One of my colleagues has like 7 degrees, y'all. I've had the privilege to be changed by their beautiful community, and that I actually became a part of, not on the outside, but from the inside, right? So Brad said, I was listening to his sermon from a couple of weeks ago on baptism. And he said that before we were even born, God chose us to be his own. God chose us, named us beloved, and called us into his own life. So when we become Christians, even before we are born, we belong to him, right? But belonging to God also means belonging to one another. We care about one another. We are transformed by one another. So when we say yes to God, we find belonging not only in Christ Jesus, but also in the community of Christ that comes with being a member of the body of Christ. In Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all of the others. And it's not just for missionaries. We're the lucky ones. And maybe it's one of you, too, who might just go on mission as well. But it's not just for missionaries. You sitting in your seat belong to a global family. And God's design is that we would be changed by that belonging, that the change would be mutual. Love God, love one another. So with the rest of my sermon, what I want to do this morning is talk about what it looks like to embrace belonging to the global family. This is World Communion Sunday, right? So what does it look like to embrace some actual practical things about what it looks like to embrace belonging to the global family? Now, when I was a preacher here, I was never really a three-point preacher. But three-point sermons are sort of like preaching 101, you know? It's the first thing you learn how to do. Give them 3 points and a poem, right? if you don't know what to say, that's what you can do, right? And I never preached that way, not until I started teaching the preaching course at the school. And then I was sort of teaching that, preaching 101, and I started to use it as a model for our students. So I brought it back home with me. That's what I have for you this morning. But for time, I only have 2 points. 2 points on how to belong well in God's global family. And that can be with your neighbor next door. That can be with those people across the tracks that you don't like very much. Or someone across the world, right? So the first way to belong well in God's global family is to love what they love. I won't ask you to tell it to your neighbor because I hate that. But this is something we do in Sierra Leone. Will you say it out loud? Love what they love. Love what they love. Amen. That's number one. And the second one is be quick to listen. Will you say that out loud? Be quick to listen. So the first way to belong in the global family is to love what they love. Now, how do you know that someone cares about you? It's when they care about what you care about. Now, I will confess to you that I don't care at all about the Cowboys and how they're doing. I apologize and thank you for your forgiveness. Hey now, I'm still a Texan, all right? I don't care about any of the others. but you know what? I'm living with my sister. My brother-in-law, he loves the Cowboys. So a couple weeks ago after church, I was like, I want to take a nap. But here's the Cowboys and everybody's here, so I'll sit down. You know what? I'm going to love what he loves. Why? Because I love him, right? So it's when the other person knows your parents' names, right? Or when they know something about your family or your work that they didn't have to know. It's when they pay attention and you know, it's when they care about what you care about. Now, Sierra Leone has a very vibrant culture, and so I have to say it's really easy to love what they love. I could talk about their language, which is very creative and very rich, and we're going to learn some a little bit later. I could talk about their food, which is delicious. I could talk about the dancing. Y'all, why are we not dancing in worship? It is so much more fun. So I just want to encourage you. It's dark in here. Y'all should be dancing. Just saying. But the example that really comes to mind is the fashion. Sierra Leoneans love fashion, and I admired it sort of early on, but from afar, but I was kind of nervous about putting on the head tie or wearing all the elaborate colors or the elaborate styles. But what I found was every time I would walk into the registry office, the registrar is a woman, there were women all around us, right? And every time I would come in a new dress, right? You have them custom made for you. This, nobody else has this dress. This is mine only. Every time I would walk into the office, all of the women would stand up and celebrate me in a new dress, right? They would clap, they would ooh, and they would ah, they would say, "Hey, African woman." And then I would like model for them, and I would do a little, okay, this, little that, right? They would say, "African woman, you look so good." Now that may seem like a small and maybe silly thing from the outside, but when it comes to communicating to people that you're all in with them, the little things are the big things, right? I was saying to them that I admire and I want to be part of who they are. They look good and I want to look good like them, right? And what they were saying is, come on in, join the party, right? The number of times they called me an African woman in that office, I think about it and my heart swells, because coming from them, it was a high compliment. I mean, I think in any room, it's a high compliment. If you want to love your neighbor well, then love what they love. That's number one. Number two, be quick to listen. Now, James said it, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to grow angry. Now, I have to tell you, that as a missionary, as an American missionary, I had to make it a discipline to close my big mouth. I don't know if you know this about me, but I like to have answers. I like to add value, right? I like to fix things. I like a microphone. I like to have something to say, and I often did have something to say. But sometimes we get ourselves into trouble when we show up into the lives and situations of other people as though we have the answers. What I learned when I finally learned how to just be quiet and listen was that I'm not the only one with wisdom. And even things that from the outside to me seemed unwise at first, from the inside made perfect sense in that context. I found that even though I am the teacher, I would be the one to learn the most, really, in the end. Now, somebody asked me recently what was the most successful thing that I have done as a missionary, and I knew immediately it was my classroom values. In my classroom, we have two values. One is the details matter. Make your subject and your verb agree, y'all, right? And number two, and this one's the more important, the world needs your voice. Every day at the beginning of class, I would write those two sentences on the board. Every day, I would go to the very top and write it down. The details matter, and the world needs your voice. And every year, every class, at the beginning of every class, even though I had the same students in every class, I would tell them that it is my firm conviction that because of their culture, and because of their language, and because of their experience, they hold a wisdom that the rest of the world does not have. Now, the same is true for you and me as well. Because of your culture, and because of your experience, and because of your language, and because of your context, you hold a wisdom that other people don't have. We have something to give to the world, right? That's true of every person, including you and me. Your experiences and your culture and your values give you a wisdom that other people don't have. But the problem for my students is that historically the world has told them that their voices are not wise and that their culture does not have as much to offer as other cultures do. But I know from experience that nothing could be further from the truth. I have been an apprentice of their wisdom, and I believe with my whole heart that they have something really special to give to the world. The world needs their voices, This is one of the ways that we do leadership development at the university, building their confidence in their gifts and their calling, right? The world needs them to stand up and lead. So let me give you an example. This is Mohamed Lansana. Lansana like Dansana. But since he converted to Christianity, he goes by Medlans. Let me tell you, he became a Christian because of a feeding program at the Christian school in his village. He said, you know, the Christians are generous, and I want to be a part of that. But being a new Christian, Medlans had a lot to learn. And he would often speak before his head caught up with what he was saying. Every once in a while in class, he would just spout heresy. And you have to be like, whoa, whoa, rein it back in, right? In fact, by his own admission, the first sermon that he preached in chapel was nothing what, these are his words, quote, nonsense. But this man, once we have helped him to form his own voice, he is a true prophet. And when he preaches, the world, I mean, like, just fades around you. His voice is absolute power. In fact, I noticed in about his third sermon that his hands were shaking. As he was preaching, he would wander and his hands would shake. And as the preaching professor, I went up to him afterward and asked him why his hands were shaking. I was thinking that he was nervous. And I was going to give him some pointers on what to do with those nerves, right? But he said, oh, I'm not nervous. It's just that every time I preach, I feel overcome with the power of God. When I preach his words, I feel overcome. This young man literally shakes with that power of the Holy Spirit. His voice is a voice that the world needs. One more. This is Simon Peter Sam Karoma. He's the one in the right next to me. I went and visited his family out in the village before I left. He is the student leadership representative. He's basically the president of the class for the School of Theology. And without exaggeration, he is the smartest person I've ever met. No offense to anyone in this room. This kid is 22 years old and he preaches circles around me. He is so good, I wish he was here preaching instead of me. Someday, I believe it. I believe it with my whole heart, you will hear him preach. Well, about a week after I returned to the U.S., he messaged me to see how I was doing, and I told him I was doing well, but I was still grieving my life in Sierra Leone. And he wrote back some words of comfort. And then he said this, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit. He said, the truth is, you are no longer who you used to be. You have two different cultures now. You are now neither Greek nor Jew. You are now in between. And I have to say, every time I read that, I cry. Because it so accurately and profoundly describes the gospel transformation that I have experienced by belonging to all of them. It so profoundly describes what God has done in me because I belong to them. So this morning, once more on World Communion Sunday, I want to remind you that you already belong to a very big family in Christ Jesus. And I want to invite you to strengthen those relationships. Strengthen that belonging. You don't have to get on a plane to be transformed by the belonging that we have together. Just find some people that God already loves. Maybe people that the world has forgotten. Maybe your next door neighbor. Maybe it's you. Find some people that God already loves. Love what they love. Listen to what their God-given voices have to say. And let your heart expand to give you new life because of what that belonging has brought to you. One more time, I want to say thank you all so much. I'll be around after worship if you want to sign up for my newsletter or get more information about how you can support me or the university. First Church, Crossroads, you all have my whole heart. And I really thank you, thank you, thank you for being a part of my journey with me. Let us pray. Good and holy God, we are so grateful that you have brought us together from across the world and in this very room. We pray, oh God, that you would bring us together in that belonging, that we be let us be transformed by the belonging that we have, not only to you, but to the global body of Christ. Help us to reconcile with one another and be family together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's sermon series podcast from First United Methodist Church of Round Rock, Texas. For more information, you can find us online at fumc-rr.org or find us on social media at fumcrr.